Hey, good morning to everybody. Good to see everybody. Had a great pastor's conference. Very good. Learned a lot of things, so. And was encouraged in a lot of things. That's the thing that was cool. Encouraged in many things. So, but God is doing his thing. Doesn't the scripture say that God is faithful? He's faithful. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And everything is working out according to the God's plan, according to the power that he's exhibiting, according to the leading of his spirit. Very good things. So just talking to you today, I'm still on the forgiveness thing. It's very important that we, I'm going to go through another facet of it today. You know that scripture, it's the sixth chapter of Revelation where it talks about how long, O Lord, when they're under the altar and so forth. Could you go to that, find that scripture? How long, O Lord? Kind of an amazing thing. When you find it, I don't know what verse. Was it like 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there? 10. What does it say above it? Verse 9. Yeah. Okay, stop right there. Who is that, guys? Who is it talking about? Those that were slain for the... Yeah, prophets. All of that. Patriarchs. I'll say the faithful patriarchs, because there were some patriarchs that... not good. But faithful patriarchs, the saints of old, right? And you can add somebody else in that. You can add the beggar Lazarus a little bit. You know why? Rick mentioned it, I think, this last time that, you know, the whole thing about them being under the altar and so forth in the temple, all those people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they were what? They died in what? In faith. So did Lazarus die in faith? How do we know? How do we know Lazarus died in faith? The Lazarus that was the beggar. How do we know? Ah, guess what? That place under the altar is Abraham's bosom. That is the place of faith. You know, so when they say, how long, O Lord? Now, where are these saints at? Where do they reside at? Within. Are they in a place of the dead? Yeah. But they're residing in you. What are they waiting on? You to do what? Resurrection. If you attain to the resurrection, what do you bring with you? You bring all of them with you, don't you? What did they all testify of when they prophesied? Who were they testifying about? Jesus. All the prophets testified about Jesus. You know why? Because he is the resurrection. They testified of the things of Jesus in prophecy, didn't they? The prophecy of resurrection. Now, do you think Jesus just resurrected then? Or do you think he resurrected from the beginning? Oh, he's done a lot of resurrection, man. And is he resurrecting things in you right now? Is he the resurrector? Oh, yeah, he is. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, right? He is your life. We may not think of it that way, but that's exactly what he is. He is your life. When we think of life, we think about this thing that causes us to live here and then one day it's going to die, this outward flesh, right? But when it talks about life, it's talking about that everlasting life, that eternal life, which is what Christ is. He is your life. And the life of you that's going to live on forever, okay? There's a law unto what? Sin and death. There's a law unto life. Isn't that true? Isn't that how it works? So what we're trying to tell you is that it's very important for you in your understanding of God to be able to know what God is telling you to do. How do you know? Where do you get your instruction from? It's from the Word of God through the elders, right? And so here's the thing. That's why I said Thursday night's going to become very important to you. Your link is there, you know, for things that are going to be taught. There's things that the elders are going to be taught. And they have to be taught because of what they are. They have to be taught a certain way, okay? And that's exactly what's going to be happening here in the near future. In fact, starting today, it's going to start happening. But one of the things that we're very adamant about is this. What if you're holding on? Remember, they're saying, how long, O Lord, right? They're waiting for that resurrection. What can delay the resurrection? Yes. It can delay it in you, isn't it? What if you're holding on to unforgiveness? Can it delay your resurrection? Oh, it has to, because the scripture says, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive. You notice how I put that? Your Father in heaven. It's telling you the ultimate is saying he will not what? Forgive you if you don't forgive. Very important, guys. So we talked already about forgiving self, right? We know there are things in us sometimes we've condemned ourselves for and we were guilty about and whatever. And when we do that, we put ourselves in a place of condemnation with the devil. So we're associating ourselves with him. And so this is not what we want to do. We don't want to associate ourselves with the lie. We want to associate ourselves with the truth. Isn't that how that works? Absolutely, you want to associate yourself with the truth, not with the lie. That's the key. So here's where we go with this. If you have unforgiveness in you and they're saying, oh, Lord, how long, how long? And God's going to say, well, I'm waiting on them. Basically, right? If you had to put it that way, hey, I've given them all the tools, all the things that they need to perform or to come to the place of resurrection. Isn't that true? Do you have enough now to come to the resurrection? If I never preached another word, would you have enough now to come to the resurrection? One of the things that you really have to start asking yourself is if you do believe. Do you believe to the point that you're going to be obedient? You're going to follow the things of God. So that those saints that are crying out to him in you can say, ah, we waited so long. Now it's come to pass. Now the resurrection is here. Because they'll know when you know, huh? When you get resurrected, they'll know, won't they? Because where are they at? In you. So you'll be bringing them with you in this resurrection, right? Every individual has to do that. Maybe in you, you've already brought them. Maybe in you, it hasn't happened yet. You see where I'm going with this? Every individual has to bring them because it's your world that we're dealing with, right? The world inside of you, how you think, where you go with your thought, how you believe, where your faithfulness is. And we think some of the things that God's asked us to be faithful in are just, you know, it doesn't matter if I do it, if I don't do it, it's not that important, da-da-da-da-da. Hey, what if I told you everything God has asked you to do is important? Every single thing. Because God loves you more than you love yourself, and he knows what it's going to take. If you follow each one of those things, what's going to happen is that God is going to bless you because you're going to be faithful. You're faithful in all things. So this is the key to all of this. You are showing God your faithfulness by obeying those things and believing those things that he has told you, right? Remember, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. So the more word of God that you get, and here's what I'm going to admonish you once again. I've told several people this recently. Be quiet and listen. That is a great admonishment. Be quiet and listen. Don't go so much for trying to figure everything out. There are things that you are not going to understand until the resurrection comes. So what are you doing trying to figure it out before that time? Why? You'll know all things then. So this is the thing that I'm trying to tell you, is that what you don't understand now, will God bring you the understanding? Once again, we go back to this. Is he faithful? God is faithful. Now, us, on the other hand, at times we can be. At other times we're not. But what God is saying is, I will always be faithful, and I will give you what I told you I was going to give you. He's your help, guys. He's your help. In fact, we may need to read that. One of my favorite verses, I think it's the 40th chapter of Psalms, and it talks about how God is always trying to give us his thought. They're without number, all those things. Remember that part? I think it's verse 5. But go down to verse 13 and see what that says. I think it's 13. What does that say?
It says, be pleased, O Lord, deliver me, O Lord, make haste to help me.
Ah, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord, make haste to do what? Is he an ever-present help in that time of trouble? What is he saying there in Psalms? Isn't David crying and saying, Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me. That's what I need. There's another one he says in that same chapter. I think it's toward the end of the chapter. I don't know the verse. You may have to find it, where he says that I need your help. He's talking about the help of the Lord. If you find it, 17, what does that say? Oh, that's it. Now think about this. You're poor and needy. What does that really mean? Ah, you don't have the word. And you need that word, don't you? You're poor and needy, but then he said he does what to you? He's thinking on you. Ceci, he thinks about Ceci. Wait a minute, you think the God, the Father of everything, thinks about Ceci? Oh, no, we're just too little. We're so insignificant. We're not. Why would he think about me? No. This tells you he thinks about you. Even if you're in need, he thinks about you. Even if you're poor, you don't understand all the word, he thinks about you. Isn't that why we're supposed to be fasting and praying for that poor? Ah, what is that? Isn't that really a way of learning the word of God, making yourself taking the opportunity to receive that word of God? That's what your fasting and prayer is all about, guys. You want to place yourself in a place of opportunity so that God can speak to you. Isn't that true? So we have to be faithful in that opportunity, in appearing at that place of opportunity, so that Jesus can appear in us. Where will you see him? Will you see him in dream and vision? He will appear to you. This is what God's going to do. So we have to put ourselves in that opportune place. We can't rage or get upset because things don't go according to the way we want it to go and our expectation is not being met. You know what? Really, in a way, your expectation is being met. Go back to that verse 5 of that 40th. What does it say? Read that.
Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works unto us.
Stop. Thy thoughts that are where? So is your expectation being met? Really? How many? And then continue to read now.
They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak with them, they are more than can be numbered.
More than can be numbered. So is God constantly giving you of himself so that you can't even number what he's trying to give you? But you know what? On the receiving end, we're not getting that, are we? Because we're doing other things. You see where I'm going with this? We're holding on to other things. God's steady trying to give it to us, but we're holding on to something else that delays it for us. Let me tell you what that is. Sometimes it's a lack of respect toward one another. Sometimes it's accusation against one another. Sometimes it may be judging one another. Catch where I'm going with this. Sometimes it's unforgiveness toward one another. We've talked about all these things. It's very important for you to understand that that's maybe holding up. Your blessing in God, your word from God may be held up because of that. Lack of obedience to the things of God. God says to do it, you don't. Wait, would you expect to get somewhere in God if God says to do it and you don't? Come on, guys. What does he say about loving him? If you love me, you'll keep my... Ah, you'll keep them. You'll do exactly what I say. because you love me so much and you know the love I have for you and what I have in store for you because of that love. Didn't he do it because of love? God so loved the world he gave. He gave us the instrument whereby we can return to the Father. Isn't that true? That's very powerful for you to understand. He loved us before we loved ourselves. Think about that. He made provision for us from the foundation of the world to do these things before we, even before we sinned. He knew what we were going to do. That's why it's so important to understand that the love of God is preemptive. You know how they talk about a preemptive attack? You know the enemy's getting ready to do something and then you preempt him, you attack first. Well, God did that first. He knew what the enemy was going to do. So he made a way for us to get out from under it long before he ever came into the place where the enemy could have some power. Isn't that true? He slew himself in spirit from the foundation of the world to give us power over the enemy. Wow. Did he forgive us? Did he forgive us for our sin? Yes. Did he die in the flesh for our sin? Yes. So why would he do that? Why would he take himself off the throne, wrap himself in flesh, and die for humanity unless he loved us? Think about it. Did he forgive us first? Should we forgive one another? Oh, yeah. Sometimes I have weeks I go through almost daily accusation. Weeks of it. Things are said. My motives are judged and questioned. All the time. And here's the thing. I'm coming to the point where I'm just going to have to just give all that over to God and let God deal with those minds that continue to do that. It's not good. But I can't change it. I can't change them. They have to come to a change themselves where they're not constantly accusing or questioning your motive or judging your motive about why you say and do what you do. They think you're lying in some way. And really, it isn't. I know what my motive is. When we were up there at the pastor's conference, it's very important to some of the things that Rick said to us were very straightforward. There was no beating around the bush. There was no nothing, just straight talk. And talking to each and every one of us about the things that we need to do toward God that we've been opposing God in. You would say, oh, the elders have never opposed God in anything. Really? What if you were deceived into thinking that you were doing toward the will of God and you were opposing him, thinking you were doing good? Think maybe that might happen? Think maybe you might have a thought that takes you off another way? You think that might happen? Yeah. But this is the thing. That's why we gather together for those things. There's a lot of solace that I have when I'm with the elders, a lot of peace. Peace that I don't have anywhere else because, like I said, sometimes those other things are happening. They're just motives questioned, being judged, accused of things, and my motive is not anywhere near that. If those spirits, if those thoughts could see where that motive is, they would know 99 out of 100 times they're wrong. Maybe they might be right in what they're thinking, maybe 1 out of 100 times, because I understand that God is letting his spirit work in me and that I don't think the way I think before. I used to think, I don't think that way anymore. I don't have the same devices working. What does the scripture say that we're not ignorant of his devices? But what if I was to tell you there are people that are still ignorant of them because you can receive what those devices are doing toward you. You see it. You see that spirit working against you and opposing you. It's very, it's tiring sometimes, you know, to have your motives judged all the time and say you're this way or that way and you're really not. It's an amazing thing sometimes to do that. But guess what? You know what God's teaching me? I have to forgive that because Jesus went through the same thing, exactly the same thing. Whenever he did something, he always questioned his motives. You know, why'd you heal on the Sabbath? Well, wouldn't you want, if you were sick, wouldn't you want somebody to heal you whether it was the Sabbath day or not? I mean, if you're the one that's hurting, why would you say, well, now, here I have to go to the law. The law says, no, maybe I can't do this and I can't do that. Jesus didn't do any of that. You know what he said? He said, I'm the one that made the law, in so many words, and I'm fulfilling the law. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say, oh, wait a minute. Is he changing anything? Or is he just extending it because he knows? Didn't it say the law was spiritual? Oh, you know what made it unspiritual? The flesh couldn't keep it. Don't ever think the law was bad, guys. It was not. It had to be done away with because the flesh couldn't keep it. It's as simple as that. So then God said, you remember we just read about that help, right? Didn't we read about it? I'm poor and needy. God said, I will come myself in your heart and I'll help you to do it. Because when you tried to do it on your own under a law, you couldn't do it. So now I'll join you, be in you, so you can do it now. What did Jesus tell his disciples? I have been with you and now I shall be. Is it for help? Ah, he's going to help you, isn't he? He's going to help you. He will be in you to help you. That was one of the things all those patriarchs and stuff, they didn't have that the same way. Now he says under grace and truth, it's not going to be under the law anymore. It's not going to be by a written word. That's what he's telling you. I've forgiven you. I've gotten to the point now where my spirit is going to be in you and I will help you with this. I love you enough to help you. Wow. Isn't that a powerful thing? That Jesus is going to help you? Help you to keep this grace and truth working in you? That he can forgive you? He can forgive you for your lack of understanding, lack of keeping the law, lack of this, lack of that, and just say, I will be there to help you. Now I'm going to write it on your hearts. Isn't that true? Is that what it is? It's going to be done by the Spirit, isn't it? It's going to be the working of the Spirit in you if you allow it to work. That's the key, is allowing it to work. So sometimes in your unforgiveness, even for self and for others, you're delaying the work of that Spirit in you. And that's exactly what God wants to do. There's another one of my favorite scriptures. I think it's Hebrews 13 and 6. I think I gave that to you not too long ago, Jacob. 13 and 6. This is a powerful thing. Fear is wrapped up in this, guys. A lot of it. Go ahead. Oh, read the verse before. Wow. Now, do you have that Strong's thing on yours? Click on the conversation. You'll boldly say what? What will you boldly say? The Lord is my helper, and I'm not going to fear what man. What man are you going to be fearing? You think he's talking about people out here? What are you going to be fearing? Yeah. You're going to be fearing that man in you. What if I told you you're going to be fearing you even to the point where you're saying this, I don't know if I can keep that or not or do this or not or whatever, and you're going to fear because you think you can't make the standard. You can't make the line that's being drawn in the sand. So there's a fear there. Your own man is putting fear in you and saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. The doubt comes. See, this is where it comes. Don't tell me none of you have doubted because I've seen it in you. You doubt. You hesitate sometimes even to speak the things of God because you're afraid you're going to be wrong. That's that man that you fear. You catch it? That's the man you fear. Go ahead and read that again, Jacob. Read it again. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, what does conversation mean? Conversation says mode or style. Go down to where it breaks it down to subset. It's a manner of life. It's the way you think about your manner of life, your conversation. But your conversation is supposed to be where? In heaven. So if you fall short of that conversation, why are you falling short of it? Because you don't understand, maybe? Or maybe there's still some judging going, maybe some unforgiveness. Maybe something. Maybe you don't understand that this is the way it's supposed to be. Your conversation is supposed to be in heaven. So when you speak to the elder here, when you speak to the brother and sister here, how could your conversation change from that? Why should it change from that? It shouldn't, should it? The conversation should be in heaven. You should never judge or prejudge or accuse or anything. always take the motive that God has. The motive God has is love first. Because it'll cover what? A multitude of sin. I'm not saying the other person didn't sin. I'm saying God told you your motive should be love first. Ah. How shall all men know that you're my disciples? How? What does he say? Love ye have one for another. Oh, is that to the elder and the congregation too? Is that to the husband and the wife? Is that to the father and the children? Is that to the mother and the children? Oh, the love ye have one to or toward another. Very powerful. We don't give that love time to work. Well, that's part of it. But in order to behold it, what if I was to tell you, you can't even behold yourself till you get rid of some of this darkness that's in the way? It does say darkly, doesn't it? What if I told you there's a time you're in total darkness and you can't even see the image? And then you start to, by the word of God, start seeing an image. And it may be dark at first, right? And then what does it say? Is it 2 Corinthians 3:18? Let's read that. Thanks for bringing that up, because this 2 Corinthians 3:18 will answer that. I think that's where it's at. Ah, so the darkness will leave, won't it? As you gain more and more of God, and now you start seeing the image of who in that glass? The Lord. And you're going to be changed into that same image, because are you not going to be the Christ in your world? Ah, to me, that's a lot like the revelation of Jesus Christ from beginning to end, isn't it? Read it again. You read it, Jacob. Read it. We all. Keep going. Now, what's the open face? What's open face? Come on, if you're going to be open face, what are you going to be? Naked, honest, everything seen, everything before God, right? Open face. It's not going to be anything hidden. The countenance is not going to be fallen. Ah, is it? It's going to be open face. Now start again. What are you beholding? As in a glass. So is there a reflection? Where does the reflection go? To you. Don't you see yourself in glass? So where's that reflection of Christ coming? Right to you, huh? Keep reading. So what does that reflection do? Does it change you? To the same image? Wow. From glory to, wow. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what does it? Is it the Spirit of the Lord that does it? Yes, it is. But if you're still dilly-dallying in accusation and motive judging and judging one another and unforgiveness and all that stuff, what image are you going to see? I think you'll see darkness. That's what you're going to see. And you will be no reflection. The only reflection you'll have then is a reflection of the one that you're following, the evil one. That type of reflection. And that in that darkness, will you become dark too? Yes, you will. Your thoughts become dark. You see how this works? It's not going to be an open face, is it? No, you're going to hide, aren't you? All the time, isn't it? It's a hiding. And hiding where? In darkness. Being, I had this up there the other day, comfortable where you're at. Being comfortable in that darkness. It's time to get out of it, guys. This forgiveness goes for a big thing. It's not just forgiving one another here or something being done here and you say, well, just forgive me and you go on about your business. What if I told you there are spiritual things? This is what God is talking about. He's not talking about the physical things. He's talking about spiritual things that you need to be able to forgive. Isn't that true? Now, what if I said this? Forgiveness here between two people. They can forgive, and then you say, well, that's here in the physical realm. has nothing to do with the spiritual realm. Now, catch this. But what if the forgiveness builds a wall when the Spirit of God is trying to work with you concerning that person? Then what has happened? Has it gone from being just physical here? Think about what I'm saying. Now you're talking spiritual. Isn't that true? What if it makes a change of unforgiveness in your world, your thought, your image of that person, or of that situation, or of that thing? Has it changed? You allowed it to go someplace it shouldn't have gone. Now things have changed, haven't they? So, the scripture, do you think it's talking about here, or you think it's talking about in that terrestrial realm? Here's what it says. Forgive, right? If you don't forgive, neither will your... Now we're dealing with thought in your world, aren't we? Isn't it different? Now think about this. Ernest, you and I were talking about it. That third that were pulled down by the tail, the false prophet, what did Lucifer try to do to them? Tried to act like God in what way? He judged them, just like God would judge them, only his judgment was wrong. Do you think we do that? Do you think we do that? We do. We put ourselves in the place of God and we judge people. We judge their motives. We judge what they do. We do all of that. And we relate it to how it affects us. Isn't that true? And so we're the ones that suddenly get upset or have a problem or cause a wall to be built. Or have an ought. What does the scripture say about if you have an ought against your brother? Go to him. Isn't that true? I'm going to tell you now, here in this physical realm, it hardly ever works. Why? Why doesn't it work here? Christians try to do it all the time. Have you seen people say, oh, forgive me, whatever, but there was still something in between them for years to come? Especially in religion. Why didn't it work? And when God does it, now here's the thing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins. For the what? Gone completely now, huh? So do you have to do this in the person of Christ? Yes. Then it can truly be forgiven. It'll be as if it never happened. Am I saying that it'll go out of your world, that you'll never see it in your world again? No, it's there. But you can look at it and just remember what they said in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Is this the man, remember, caused nations to tremble and all this kind of stuff? What do you, they're going to look at him. Walk past them, huh? Is there any effect anymore? None. This is what we're talking about, guys. Very important. So, since you can't do it, here's that help again, isn't it? I am poor and needy. Lord, I need you to help me. That's the only way it's going to work. In the person of Christ, it can be overcome. Does that make sense? In the person of Christ. Now think of this. Do the apostles have the power to forgive sin on earth? Do the apostles have the power to retain sin when people don't want to? Yes. It works both ways. Let him that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Him that is righteous, let him be righteous still. God knows where you're at. That's the key. So am I still talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness? Yes, I am. Am I talking about delay? Yes, I am. Am I talking about righteousness and truth? Yes, I am, because that's going to overcome the lies, right? What about judging motives and doing things like that? Judging people, not forgiving them. Are we still talking about the same thing? But what if you love them unconditionally? Then what starts to happen? What is the great commandment? With all thy mind and strength, right? What's the second one? Ah. On all of this, all the law hinges on those two, huh? Jesus is pretty wise when he said that. All the law hinges on that. Isn't that true? Very powerful, guys. So am I still talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness? Oh, much. I went around and some other things I'm bringing into it, but there's one. You know what? We have to discern these spirits that are changing our motives and our will to do the wrong thing. We have to. We have to be able to judge them. If you can't do it, who's going to help you with it? Yeah, Jesus will. He's going to help you through the apostles. He's going to help you through those elders. That means we have to be honest and tell them what's going on with us so they can help us judge. Isn't that true? Yeah. You're going to have to be honest with it. You're going to have to be honest. Or will you hide? Will you hide in your unforgiveness? Will you hide in your judging? Are you going to hide in darkness? That's not what God wants. He wants the light to shine. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:5, I think it is. I think it's first. We'll read that. This is what God wants to do, guys. What does it say, Jacob?
Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord shall every man have praise of God.
Wow. Then shall every man have praise of God. That's if you allow him to do what he wants to do. He wants to shine the light. What about people that say, I want to remain in darkness? Then you won't have any praise, will you? It's only when the light shines you'll get the praise. Does that make sense? Read it one more time. Wow. Powerful scripture, isn't it? Who's going to shine the light? The Lord will. If you ever think that God's not going to shine a light in your darkness, you're sadly mistaken. He's going to show you. Now, you have a decision after that. Am I going to remain here, or am I going to walk after the light as he is in the light? That's your decision. Or are you going to get upset and say, well, I'm going to stay here. This is mine. Okay, darkness is yours. Have it, man. You can have all of it you want if you want to stay in darkness. But what if the opportunity comes and light shines? Doesn't it say to walk in the light as he is in the light? That's how you do it. You start walking where he is. And everything else that was dark, after a while, all of it's going to be lit up, man. God's going to bring forth all those hidden things. And then light will be the number one thing. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. That's what's going to be the number one thing. That's your goal. Does that make sense? Hope you got something out of what we said today.